Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
I was in the middle of a corral. I was within probably 100 feet or so of any kind of escape route. I had no stick with me, just me, myself, and this big bull. His eyes went big. He arched his neck. He showed me his side, and he arched his neck like, this is how big I am. I am big and powerful, intimidating. Do not come near me.
A couple years ago, we did something scary. We bought our first cow.
This is Ladybug. She's our Jersey. She's a cow that we have for milk. She's pregnant right now. She's due to calf in November. She's a mid-sized Jersey, which is a perfect size for our homestead. She'll give enough milk for our family with plenty of extra to use to feed the pigs, give to the chickens, use in the garden, make cheese with, endless possibilities of how we can use the milk here.
And I will never forget the feeling I had when that cow showed up that first day. I had never been around cows. It felt like that velociraptor scene at the introduction of Jurassic Park. And I just hoped I wasn't gonna end up like that one guy. Shoot her! Now, Kay was much better. She grew up around large livestock, and she wasn't as scared as I was. She had done her research. Many of you can see on the channel, she's a more natural with livestock. And she was ready for this. She had grown up with horses. She had grown up with all kinds of animals. And she was not nearly as worried as I was. I was a nervous Nelly as Ladybug was brought onto the property and unloaded. And that took a while for me to get over. I wasn't the one who was interacting with her every day, so it was all right. But over the last couple of years, I have got a lot more confidence around our cows.
Another time.
Oh, hi. You came over to say hi, Luna. Flies still bugging you, hon?
Oh, look at those flies, nasty flies. Let's say hi to Luna. Oh, she's here.
And now I actually find them to be one of my favorite animals on the homestead. We really have become very pro-cow for homesteaders, suggesting that if you're thinking about getting into milk, that might be a better first selection, a better first animal than even a goat, if you are ready to handle and work with an animal. And we have a guest here with us tonight who is going to talk all about working with cattle, whether that be dairy cows, whether it be working around bulls and beef animals. So I'm looking forward to this interview because I'm going to certainly get some pointers and tips on how I can be better around our cows. Ladybug's a mini Jersey. People would laugh if they knew how scared I was of this small-sized cow. But even Ladybug has an incredible amount of power. We were talking about it before the show, Kay and I. She's blind in the one eye, which that added a whole new set of challenges. Sometimes when she whips her head back to swat flies, you got to make sure you're not standing there. So we have a guest tonight. Her name is Karen, and she is going to help us navigate the world of handling and working with cattle. Karen grew up on a mixed family farm in Alberta, Canada, growing barley and canola, raising and selling backgrounding stocker steers. Her main passion since she was little was the cattle end of the farming operation. From handling to pasture management, she has a BSc in agriculture from the University of Alberta, majoring in animal science, with an unofficial minor in rangeland, forage, and pasture management. One of the things you find me and Karen talking a lot in the comments section of our YouTube channel is moving the animals on grass and feeding the animals. She has worked as a general veterinarian assistant, a farm store sales rep, and as a research assistant for rangeland research and crops and soils research with the University of Alberta. She currently works as a forage beef extension specialist with the provincial government and is working towards getting into farming of her own one day. She calls herself one of those wannabe farmer types, which I find is funny because I would look at Karen as an expert farmer type, not a wannabe any day. Even though her passion for all things bovine, forages, rangeland, and agriculture has been alive and well since the day she was born. This passion has transformed into one of sharing of information on agriculture to all those who are interested, no matter if they're veteran farmers or those just eager to always learn more like herself. Karen is a wealth of knowledge on this subject. We're going to be able to dive into it, ask her plenty of questions about managing cattle. So Karen, I'd like to welcome you onto the Homesteady Show. Karen's a longtime commenter on the channel. You'll know, some of you will know her as Karen L. If you're a regular in the comments section, you'll see her there. And right out the gate, Kay and I knew from Karen's comments, right away we could tell she was experienced. She wasn't just talking book knowledge, but we could tell she had boots on the ground knowledge. She's not always agreed with some of the things we've done, which I have no problem with. I love when people show me what we're doing wrong or, you know, share what we could change. But she's always handled it super classy. And I talked to her not too long ago. One of her comments was so good. I said, Karen, you got to come on the show. She said, I'd love to. So Karen, you're on the show. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for coming on Homesteady. And I want to dive into this subject, Karen, because I know from being on the other end, you grew up with this. I didn't. Cows scared me. What was it like? Just give us a little bit of your background, Karen, growing up around these animals. What was life on your family farm like?
Oh, boy. It was adventurous, just to put it in one word. It's an experience of a kind of a lifetime.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it teaches you values that you just don't get anywhere else. Teaches you responsibility, teaches you hard work, all sorts of things. Working with cattle, I mean, that was, there's a picture of my mom and my brother out in the pasture, and mom's super pregnant with me in the womb, and they're out checking pasture. So you could probably say that the passion has been even before I was born. So it's been since even then. But yeah, it's just something that I just love, and it's in the blood.
Did you grow up, you had what kind of cattle, how many was on the family farm growing up?
Average is about 80 to 90 stalker steers, which is actually pretty small. What we did was actually, it's a bit different from feedlot versus the cow-calf operation, where we get the steers from a cow-calf operation. We fed them up during the winter time, and winter time was mainly with hay, silage, and a little bit of grain if necessary, and then we throw them out in the pasture come usually by May or June is when we throw them out to pasture, and then they'd be out there till September when they get sold.
So you had from, I mean, like you said, your mom was pregnant, from just start forward you were around large groups of cattle.
Yeah, like there's a picture of me, I was probably 3 years old. It's funny, I actually made this cardboard box where I could put my little ponies in there. There's a picture of me playing with my little ponies just feet away from these big steers, and their steers are staring down at me like this. Wonder what the heck I'm doing. And I was just absolutely just oblivious. But, you know, that's just what I grew up with. It was,
hey, why cows and cattle? Why is this the thing that you just attach to? And why would somebody want to consider raising some of these animals on their own homestead?
There is a pile of reasons. One is that there are some of the best green solar panel converting ruminants that you could ever have. They're the proxy for the old bison herds that are, I wouldn't say non-existent, because they're still around, but it's just there's not enough of them. Like, right. People like to romanticize, oh, we should have all these bison and all that, but you know, we have a lot of cattle, and the cattle are such great converters of grass to something that's edible, meat and milk. I mean, what better could you ask for? The other thing is that they're kind of an animal that is, but there's a certain prestige about them. The old Maasai and the Kenya, Zimbabwe, they value the cow as a meaning of how rich you are. So the more cows they have, the richer you are.
I can see why they're expensive.
and so it's that kind of prestige, but it's just they kind of look at you like they look at you like nothing like horses, nothing like dogs or cats can look at you. They kind of look into your soul. For me, they speak a different language. I don't want to put any human qualities to them, but like they just know what's on your mind. And I've grown up, you know, growing up around cattle, all this, it's they've taught me a whole lot about me, about them, and so many people out there that don't even know what cows. That cows are actually smarter than you think. There's more to them than just a ribeye.
Smarter than the average ribeye. Why would someone who, like myself, maybe was nervous about it, maybe it's a couple and one of them is thinking about bringing some cattle onto the homestead, why would someone want to consider raising them?
Kind of goes back to that meat and milk thing, and plus, you know, it's the ability for them to have that ability to convert grass to milk. I mean, the thing is that goats are certainly a good, or even sheep are a great replacement, I guess you could say, if you don't have enough land. But why someone would consider having a cow, I think it's just kind of goes back to, you know, whether they actually like the meat better, like the milk better, because some people don't like goat's milk. Some people don't even know that sheep milk even exists, or that they don't even like it. So it's actually down to more of a personal preference thing. You know, what, and even if they like dealing with these large animals, these large ruminants, and you know, I guess that's what it's down to is what a person actually prefers.
I was known as a goat hater for a long time. And when we got goats again on the property, I got a lot of comments on YouTube, because I actually decided, after telling so many people for so long, don't bother, they're the worst, we wound up having them. And I still think they're the worst. I'm not lying. I think goats are, I wrestle with those animals and care for those animals. They're just a headache. I love them. This group that we have right now, I'm having so much fun, you know, working with them. They have such personality, but at the end of the day, they are harder. Those smaller goats are harder to fence than the cows. They're the harder ones to contain. They're harder to train. And again, every, you know, you can find an individual animal that's going to buck the trend. But as a generality, I find goats are a more difficult animal, and the product that you get, I do not like goat's milk more than cow's milk. Ladybug's milk for us is, it's the best milk we can possibly get. We've come around to this feeling over the last couple of years of doing the homestead dairy. If you're looking to be self-sufficient, if you're looking to get the most you can with the least amount of inputs, it is really hard to beat a cow, because she can, that one cow, a dairy cow, can turn that grass, a good pasture, she can turn a good pasture into milk, and she can do meat too. And the milk from the cow can get turned into butter.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
You can't really do that with the goat. You can get a separator and go through all this extra work, but it just doesn't work out that way. It doesn't really work easily. And the cream and all the things you can do with that cow, maybe look to the cow. Because goats are a lot of work and a lot of maintenance and a lot of stress, and you might burn out where one small-sized, you know, manageable dairy like our Mini Jersey might be such a nice experience. You might just really enjoy that. So if a person hears us say that and thinks, you know what, that might be for me. Maybe I should forget the goats and the headache that they bring. Maybe I should go get the cow. What are some things that a person should know before getting into cattle, Karen?
The main thing that a person should know is that they're big animals. There's no doubt about that. They can be very intimidating. I think it's just that intimidation factor with their size. It's that thing is that you really gotta keep in mind, because people can think, oh, they're just like a big Great Dane. No, they're not. Not unless you get like a really mini cow. Then no, but the other thing is that, you know, before you get a cow, you got to make sure you got your fencing and your watering and your feed up, because there's nothing worse than bringing a cow home and then all of a sudden you're scrambling to get that fencing in order, get that water in place and get that feed. The main thing, and this comes back from when we brought home our steers. Every year we bring home new steers. Is that those animals, they need a time to get used to the place. Because when they come home, they're wondering, where am I? What am I doing here? And they're going to be, if you don't confine them in, they could be wandering around and you could they could potentially try and find their way back home, even though you don't want them to. So having them in a corral where it's preferably like something like a steel panels are good, you know, something that they're not going to easily break out of, because they will break out if they find a hole they can squeeze through, or even a short, like some breeds are just notorious for jumping. I don't want to get into that, but that's kind of a crux of mine. We dealt with some different interesting cattle, but they have to stay, should be staying in that fence, not just for a day. It'll take three to four weeks at least for them to get used to start settling down, to stop pacing, to just, you know, just go back to get to eating, that kind of thing. The other thing is that people, I've noticed in a lot of farms, the cattle farms, keeping a family cow, even backyard herds farms, is that people are wondering why can't I get close to these cows? Why can't I get to petting them and that? And the main reason is that they're not used to you. You have to really be patient to get them used to you. And that's super important. And the only way you can do that is by patience, persistence, being tenacious about it, and just having the patience. I keep going back to that. Patience is so important, because all it takes is just hanging out with them, just having a book, getting your favorite lawn chair and just sitting out with them and reading to them out loud, or just being there, just quiet, like, and so that they see you, they smell you, they realize you're not a threat, and then they start getting to know you. The other thing too is if you can bribe them a little bit with some feed, that'd be great too. Then they start associating you with good things, because that's really important. They got to associate you with good things, not bad things, because if they associate you with bad things, they're heading for the hills. You're going to be really struggling to get them to become friends with them in a way.
For someone who is less experienced. Maybe they don't even have the same fears that, like I did. but if they're less experienced, or someone who is getting, you know, going through this routine of just being around their animals, what should they know before getting close to the cattle and eventually making that step? Because you do have to make that step eventually to get in with your cattle for some reason. What do people have to know about working in close proximity to cattle?
One thing about cattle is that they could test you. Once they figure out that you're anxious or nervous, they'll try and test you. They'll be shaking their head. They'll try to get in your space, especially the tame ones. Bulls are especially really bad for doing that. You get into a pasture. I mean, I've had that experience where a bull had directly challenged me, and it was terrifying. It was really scary, but I should probably tell that story because that's
yeah,
a really
you can't just let that one go. No, we got to hear the bull story. Come on.
So what happened was that I was briefly hired to work at a farm just out where I used to live. And the first thing that he had me to do was to move these group of cows and to separate out this one calf that was a little bit lame, was a bit sick, and that he didn't tell me about the bull. So here I am going into this corral, and I see this massive black bull. He was 6 feet tall. I'm 5 foot two. He's 6 feet tall at the shoulder. He looks like a big tank, massive, muscly, just oh my gosh, what a bull. And the first thing he looks at me from the side, because cows they you know, you think they're looking at you from the front, and actually when they turn their head, they can still see you from the side. He's looking at me from the side. And the first thing he did was he widened his eyes, went big. He arched his neck. He showed me his side and he arched his neck like, this is how big I am. I am big and powerful, intimidating. Do not come near me. And I seen this big guy and I thought, oh boy. And I was in the middle of a corral. I was within probably 100 feet or so of any kind of escape route. I had no stick with me. Just me, myself, and this big bull. So I stopped. I had to just stop right there, right in my tracks. And I was scared because previously when I was little, I had a really bad experience with the bull when I was like 4 or 5. And I just didn't want to move. I knew that if I ran away, he'd come after me. And because my short little legs wouldn't run as nearly as fast as he would. All I did was just stop and just avert my eyes, not look at him, because if you look at directly at the eyes of a challenging bull like that, he's going to come after you, no question. And what happened was quite something. So all I did was I just tossed every kind of negative thought that he was going to come after me, he was going to make me into mincemeat and dirt and mincemeat and that. And I just thought, okay, guy, all I want you to do is to move. All I want you to do is just please move for me. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to cause you any trouble. Just all I need you is just to move. That's all I thought. And then I pictured in my mind, I have a photographic memory, I pictured in my mind him relaxing and moving on. And I just formed that picture in my mind. It sounds so crazy, but this is exactly what I did. Formed that picture in my mind and I psychologically sent it out to him. And most amazing thing happened. He completely relaxed. Eased his neck. His eyes softened up. He turned his head to look at me, and then he just walked away. And I thought, Lord heaven above, thank God. Thank you. I must have had someone looking over me. Angels were singing. Oh man. And I just like tried to, you know, get over that shock because I was just expecting, you know, in the back of my mind, I was just expecting him to come after me. And then all of a sudden I just said, good boy, and after that he was an absolute dream to move. So I was just, I just went and I moved him into the gate, and of course I forgot to open up the gate. So he but he was so good. Like I just put him where he was, opened up the gate, and then I moved kind of by him again. And he went in without an argument, went into that, to that gate without an argument, and then left open the gate, went to grab the cows because I'm sure the cows were watching the whole thing. They knew what was going on. Got the cows in, no problem, separated out that calf, life was good. Shut the gate, life was all good.
Man. So, that's a good one, Karen. Whew.
So that was a life-changing because I was scared of bulls before. And he helped me get over that fear. He was kind of that step in getting over a fear of bulls. I mean, bulls, you need to respect them. They're big. Some people think they're unpredictable. They're only unpredictable if you don't know what to look for.
What's a good way for someone to get a little boots on the ground experience without actually buying the animals first, Karen? Any advice where someone could go to get some, you know, interaction in a kind of a safe space with these animals?
Probably the best way to get that kind of experience is go to a farm and, you know, talk to a farmer to try and get some experience with working with those large, you know, bulls or even big cows. Because, I mean, cows with calves are another interesting subject. That's one of the best things is to go find yourself another farmer, and you know they can tell you all you want, but I think the best thing is to get experience on your own, because that's the best way you can learn.
Yeah,
you can read all the books you want. Like even with me, I love books. I love reading about stuff like this, but nothing can compare with getting the actual experience, the actual boots on the ground.
Yeah.
And if you can find someone who's willing to take you under their wing and to teach you all this, that's the best way to go. Spending that time is important. I'm bad for doing that. I'm probably a good thing because every time we get a bunch of steers, I'm always out there just walking with them, talking quietly to them, you know, just hanging out with them. And it doesn't take them very long for them to relax and just be at ease and just hang out, you know. and then they start realizing that when you're out there, you're not out there to stab them with needles or right. like that. You're just there just to be with them.
Do you suggest when somebody is starting off at the size that we are, should they start with a calf? What should someone start with?
Best thing to start with is what you guys did, is to start with a cow. Especially a cow that's had a calf or two, she's got a bit more experience with, you know, especially if it's a dairy cow, she'll have a bit more experience with milking. She'll have a bit more experience with the calf. If you're getting a heifer, heifers can be a bit of a challenge, let me tell you, mainly because they're first time mamas. I've seen, it's just like, I talked about this with the goats. I talked it in the comments. Heifers are exactly the same thing. They think they had this enormous poop, and they don't know what that this wiggling thing up the other end that came out their other end is something that's going to be needing their attention and a bit of suckliness. But especially if you're trying to start a little bit of a cow calf operation, so
yeah.
So either a cow or beef steers are also really good to get your feet wet in. Weaned steers are great. They're still going to be a bit of a challenge because they're kind of like teenagers. They're just, there's not going to be so much risk with disease and with some other issues like with young calves. Like, you know, you just got this day old dairy bull calf from the sale barn. And I've heard of people that have tried starting with calves and they ended up losing calves because either they didn't feed them properly, they ended up getting some disease, some scours that the calf they didn't couldn't treat right away, or well, not right away, but they just didn't know how to treat treat properly, and they ended up losing the animal. And that's sad. I don't wish that on anybody. I don't wish anybody to lose an animal, because that is heartbreaking.
Oh yeah, especially at the beginning when you're not experienced and you just feel like, oh man, I just failed at everything.
Yeah, older animals are the best. So that's what I recommend for starting.
Is it okay to? Would you suggest starting with just one? Is that an okay thing to do on a small homestead? If you are going to start with just one, is there something you can do to make it better?
Cows are like potato chips. You can't just have one, and they're a herd animal. So, especially if they're the only animal on the homestead, they're going to be lonely. It's not good for them to be lonely. They're social animals. They need a herd. So, if you're going to be having one cow, you should at least try to get two. Like, it doesn't have to be two dairy cows. It can be just a cow and a beef steer that you're going to be raising up for beef. That's totally fine. But yeah, they're social animals. They don't do well when they're by themselves. If you have some sheep or goats, they'll be fine. They'll be okay with that. But there's still can be some troubles with mixing them, because if the sheep aren't used to them, or if they're not used to the sheep, I mean, you can get some issues. Like, they'll be bossing the sheep around, or the sheep will just have nothing to do with them.
What is your closing advice to anybody who is maybe on the fence? Maybe they were like me, they're a little bit scared of this idea. Maybe they're like Kay was, they're excited about this idea. What's your closing advice to someone who's about to step into the world of cattle?
Closing advice is to do research, do as much reading and research as you can. Talk to as many farmers, get a bit of experience working with cattle with some farmers, especially if you don't know what you're getting into. Don't be too confident that you actually know what you're getting into, because there's always a chance that you don't know what you don't know. That's so important. So having books like Story's Guide to Raising Beef Cattle is a really good book. There's other books out there that are really great to study up on before you get into animals, because they will tell you the nitty gritty. They won't sugarcoat anything. I don't like it when people sugarcoat things, because that's just it, the BS out there. There's so much. You gotta be really careful.
You take care of it. I think we're pretty good at home study about not sugarcoating. Look at our videos this last week.
That's what got me to listen to you guys, because
like
you guys
more
are
sugar.
So genuine. I love it. Absolutely love it.
See, scours and all. Karen, this was a great interview. So much good advice for someone who's getting started or looking to get started with cattle. If someone wants to find you, if they want to find out more, where can they find you? Where can they chat with you? Let us know.
I'm all over the place, but my main thing, I'm on Facebook, Twitter. My Twitter handle is Wild Rose Beef. Probably the best way they can get a hold of me, though, is I have a website called bovinepracticum.com. It's not really a personal blog. It's just kind of a blog where I just have all my thoughts and stuff on cattle, that from odd things like people getting hurt by bison to the ethical debate with slaughtering cattle and all that kind of stuff. So contact me page. They can go on there and they can ask me questions.
Karen, this was great. Thank you all to all you who joined us live for the Pioneer Show. If you're watching this later in the library, thank you for watching it later in the library. We'll have links below to everything if you want to find Karen there. And if you missed the Homesteady Pioneers live show, if you're not a pioneer and you'd like to join us for this show and all the other shows that we do, see the whole entire uncut version of this episode, you can come become a pioneer back at the website, just like Karen. Karen's a Homesteady Pioneer. She helps us do this show every month. So we can't do it without Homesteady Pioneers like you guys. So thank you so much for watching. Great episode. And we have some more really good ones coming up. We have some more cow episodes coming up, other animals. Stay tuned. Keep an eye on the Pioneers tab, and you'll see what is coming down the pipe. We'll see it in our next live show.